Welcome to the Sparks by Ignium podcast, a series of intimate conversations shared to give people the help and the hope they need to take the next steps in scaling up their business.
When the iPod was first released, Steve Jobs walks out onto a stage and says, "I have this gadget. It's 1,000 songs in your pocket." He didn't talk about the features of how the box worked. He said, "This is the benefit. This is what it will get you." And people say, "See, that's where the power is." And I'd say it goes farther than that, because if you remember the advertisements, people dancing around the screen, that message is freedom. So that is where, when back to your question of how do we create a message that connects with people, that is the kind of level that we have to be thinking about. This is where messaging can become tricky, because if Steve Jobs had just walked out on the stage and said, "This box equals your personal freedom," people would probably have looked at him and said, "And no."
So welcome back, listeners. I'm Phil Rose, the host. This is the Sparks by Ignium podcast. And today I'm delighted again to be rejoined by Jeff Bartsch. In our last episode, we talked about a number of different things about helping people become thought leaders in their industry. We delved into Jeff's extensive history in Hollywood, working with some of the great names such as Apple, Netflix, ABC and NBC and Disney, to really understand what he brought to the industry. But also then we talked about how he's helped everyday accountants really elevate their story to help them to craft a better message, to get them engaged with their audience. And it all started when Jeff was 10. He was given that one piece of advice about not just playing the notes, but playing with his soul to help the music come alive for people. And that's, I think, what Jeff has really done, as he's built his business around helping people really craft a message that touches on the emotions that people really have. So I'm delighted to welcome Jeff back to the show again. So thank you, Jeff, for joining us for a second time.
Thank you so much, Phil. Really enjoying this. Let's keep going.
Thank you. Look, we've got some great stories here. We were talking earlier about the Lego blocks that people use to build their stories. And you had a great metaphor. Mm-hmm. And I asked you that question about who would you ask and what would you ask. You talked about following Jesus and understanding yourself of how you would use the tools you've got to follow in that path. And I thought that was a great answer to put you on the spot at that time. So thank you for that. And I was thinking there about great communicators, and whatever your religious persuasions, often we hear, you know, Jesus was a great communicator. He got the message out there to people. He was able to craft a story that really resonated with the heart of people, to create people to become not just followers, but disciples. And I wonder, in terms of, you know, taking that analogy further forwards, when we're looking at building our own messages out in business, we want people to become disciples. We want them to become real advocates of our businesses, so they can go out and start singing our praises and talking to people. So I wonder, what's the next step? We talked about people need to understand their audience. They need to understand what the audience cares about. They need to look at, you know, bringing the magic to the story of the emotion. Where do we go next in this journey to help us craft a message that really engages our audience at a deeper level?
I think the place to go, let's go to some concepts here, because let's lay some scaffolding, and that'll help us branch out a little bit. So I think the biggest thing that people misunderstand about story is that it's just about the act of telling a story in the tactical sense. So what people don't realize is, anytime that you've heard a story told and it's really connected with you, or it's fallen flat, it's flopped, or it's absolutely changed your life, the power of all that has never come from the story itself. The power has come, number one, from the storyline that is happening in your heart and mind as the audience. But even that isn't fully it, because there is the version of tactical storytelling that we all know, but then there is the version of strategic storytelling, the 30,000, 40,000 foot view. And that is where all the power comes from. This is how we take that definition of what a story is, prompted by Donald Miller and expanded by yours truly, the idea of a story is where a character wants something, overcomes obstacles to get it, and experiences transformation as a result.
Yeah.
When you take that idea and you break it down into its core elements, you have fundamental narrative forces that operate at the same level as gravity. Right. You have the idea of identity, who people are, who they think they are, who they believe themselves to be, who they used to be, who they want to be. All that stuff is wrapped up into the idea of identity. Yeah. Then you have the idea of desire. What does this character want? And anytime you have a desire that's bigger than anything in your ordinary life, there will be an obstacle in some form or another. So what are the obstacles? Mm-hmm. And then when you get through that, you have the idea of change, the result. What do we want to see happen? Because if you really want to go existential on this, people will say that the world is winding down, the concept of entropy. Things tend to go from a organized state towards a more disorganized state. And yet here we have human beings coming along saying, I aspire to see this change. I aspire to build. I aspire to see this happen. And so that process is humanity is literally struggling against the forces of entropy and the world winding down, kind of a thing. Yeah. So you know, that's the level that this stuff operates at: identity, desire, obstacles, and change.
Talking about
communication, when we say, how do we craft a message that is powerful? We have to be aware, number one, that tactical storytelling is not strategic storytelling, but the power of all tactical stories comes from the strategic level.
Okay.
The tactical things can be done well, it can be done poorly, but when you understand what is happening at the strategic level, one can communicate powerfully without telling a tactical story at all. Because I used to think that story is the answer to everything, you know. I was a hammer and I thought that the whole world was a nail. The fact of the matter is, story is the answer within the greater context of what is strategic storytelling, because this is where you take things up to the level of how do any human beings communicate with any other human beings within these core forces. And knowing that not only do we have our storyline ourselves, but anytime we interact with another person, we have their storyline going on. When you bring in business, you have multiple storylines going on. You have the story of the business itself. The business is a thing. The business needs profit to be sustainable. Sorts of things. And any business has multiple stakeholders. It has the people who run it. It has the people who benefit from its product or services. It may or may not have a board. It may not have, may or may not have VCs. It may, you know, the C-suite, just fill in the blank. Anytime you add in another human being or another group, you have another layer of complexity of all these stories stacking on top of each other. And that's where things get messy.
Yeah. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because when you talk about, you know, identity, desire, obstacles, or change, people have different things in their mind. So we all bring something else to the world we're looking at. We all see the world in different ways. And you know, from an NLP perspective, we often say the map is not the territory. You and I could see the same thing, but we interpret it differently. And I think that gives us a different frame of reference on anything. So you see one thing, I see a different thing. We see it from a different angle. So when we're looking at these things, we've all got these different messages. We're hearing a different narrative. Where do we go with that, though? Because as a storyteller, we're looking strategically, but I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know where you've come from. I don't know your background. So how do I make my story connect with you as an individual when it's the story I'm creating for myself is my story?
Right. That depends on the size of the audience and the identity of the audience. If you want, if one wants to go to a marketing context, well, marketing is one to many inherently, which is why so many people say within the marketing context, choose a niche. The more specifically you can speak to a certain niche, that means you are far more likely to be able to speak to specific goals, obstacles, and desires of this specific group of people. If you want to talk about how do we create this message that lands powerfully internally, then that's when it becomes important as a leader, certainly as a leader, to say, who is my team member, or, you know, who is the stakeholder with whom I'm communicating? Who are they? What do they want? What's getting in their way? How can I help them get that?
I love that. So it's about the niche. And I guess in some ways, yours is specifically targeting accountancy firms. That's where you've decided to target as your niche, because actually that gives you a presence in that area. You start to understand their message, but you could take that message to anybody. It's the same story.
Absolutely.
But you've just chosen that one because it resonates for them. So thinking about that in terms of, you use the phrase, the thing under the thing.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to you when you talked about that, the thing under the thing?
As an example, when people go out to Hollywood and they go to the touristy places in Hollywood, they see the stars in the sidewalk on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And so when you look at it and you say, oh, well, what is it? Well, it's a sidewalk with some decorations on it. That's what I refer to as the thing. That is the thing on the surface. But then the question becomes, what does this thing mean? Yeah. What is the meaning that is attached to this? It's not just about the thing. It's about the thing under the thing. The meaning comes from the thing under the thing. And so that you can go multiple different directions with this, because sometimes the meaning is already attached, as in some people will walk on those squares of the sidewalk in Hollywood, and they will see the names of all these television stars, radio stars, of movie stars, and they will say, oh, I love that show. That reminds me of my childhood. And to that person, that sidewalk becomes connected to nostalgia and my things that I loved growing up as a child. To people going to Los Angeles seeking their dreams, and they have a dream of one day becoming someone who has their own star on that sidewalk. That same thing, that same piece of sidewalk with the decorations on it, becomes a symbol for my own goals, my own dreams, my risks of, I've put everything on the line to be out here. That sidewalk means risk. And I am doing everything in my power to turn that risk into the reward that I'm seeking. You know, so this is where something as simple as a sidewalk with decorations on it can mean a myriad of different things and take on all sorts of very deep psychological, emotional meaning, depending on who the person is and what they want. That's an example of the thing under the thing. Another thing that people talk about is the image of an iceberg.
Okay.
You know, you always see just the tip of the iceberg, but you know, it is just the tip of the iceberg. The bulk of the mass of the iceberg is below the surface. What we see in any given context is what I refer to as the thing. But anytime you feel something, anytime you have a strong reaction to an idea or an image or as happening in your life, it's coming from that bulk of the iceberg, the thing under the thing, underneath the surface.
And it's really interesting that they've explained that. You know, we all have that interpretation. We all see things differently. But I think the key bit you talked there is about giving it meaning, because it can mean one thing to one person, one a different thing to another person. And unless we're communicating at the level that attracts the right person, we could be miscommunicating, because we could be giving them a story they don't want to hear. In terms of, you know, one person, as you say, one person sees it as their way to riches. The other sees it how they lost all their money. You could look at it in that.
Or they see it, dreams lost.
Yeah, love that. What a great, great story in that case. So let's come back to that in terms of an identity, desire, obstacles, and change. Because in that process, we've we've all got our identity wrapped up in something. We've all got our desires, whether it's to be a Hollywood actor or have our name on the pavement in the star. We've got a desire for something, but there's things in our way. And in the last episode, we talked about you talked about Donald Miller and StoryBrand, and you've talked about how, you know, bringing that transformation to life. And you talked there about the power comes from the audience. So when we've got that desire, the obstacle's there. How do we get the people to realize if you've got an obstacle, it can be overcome? And I might be the solution to overcoming your obstacle, because that's the key message that stories have to have. How do we do that?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I will say, let's just go straight to applying this to business. This is a the idea of we can help you solve your problem is a fundamental communication function of business.
Yeah.
Whether it be in marketing or sales or anything, it is all based around who is the audience, what is their problem, and how do we how do we help them overcome their obstacles? Well, if we're selling aspirin, you say, we have this. If you have a headache, here, take this. It will help your headache go away.
Yeah.
And so that becomes the, you know, especially within business, the idea of helping overcome problems. Business tends to be most effective when people know that they have a problem. And, you know, and so you can talk, you know, there are these concentric circles of communication, especially within marketing, where you could say, well, you have your target market. They know of you. They know they have the problem. And I might get this, but I might get this slightly messed up, but just the idea of concentric expanding circles of people who know of you, who know of the problem. And then there are people all the way, the great air quotes, the unwashed masses, who don't even know that they have a problem. And so if a business is going to go out to everyone on the face of the planet and say, hey, did you know you have a problem? Well, some people might say, some people might agree, but a lot of people would just ignore it and say, well, I don't know, you know. So when it comes to crafting a message, we need to be careful about who we decide we're going to talk to. Because especially in business, this concept of if people don't know that they have a problem, it's a whole other step to say, oh, well, did you know you actually have this problem? And people say, no, I don't. Or they might say, oh, okay, well, maybe I do. So it's one could go multiple directions from there.
Yeah, I love that. And I guess that connects back up to the strategic piece as well. You talk about the difference between strategic and tactical. So it's a strategic level. That 30,000 foot view is identifying who the audience is, and then looking at what's their problem in the first place. Because on the last episode, we talked about, you know, what the audience can care about. But if they don't know they've got a problem, you're going to suddenly show up as the knight in shining armor to solve all their problems. But they don't even got a problem in the first place. So how do you use strategic communication to deal with that? How do you go about framing that as a methodology? You talk there about identity, desire, obstacles, and change. But at a strategic level, what's the process you would go through to do that?
If my goal as a communicator is to serve others in a way where they find the change that they are seeking in the world, that means I need to choose who I talk to.
Yeah.
And in business, we need to choose who we talk to and who we don't talk to.
Yeah.
Because if our business is an entity that requires transactions in order to be sustainable, transactions that can run at a profit to be sustainable, well, we need to choose who we do and don't talk to.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would, yeah. I mean, so if you're trying to solve a problem for someone who doesn't think they have a problem, we need to talk to someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because as you said earlier, if all you've got is a hammer, everything looks like a nail, but we're actually trying to solve it in a different way. So there's a whole lot of messages going through here in terms of, you know, getting that message out to people, communicating in the right way. We talked about strategic storytelling and building that at a top level. And we talked on the last episode about becoming thought leaders. And the big thing here was we talked then about the hero's journey, people not realizing that they could be the hero in their own story to build up there. But, you know, bring this back to business. I think you've just done there. It's identifying those people who we want to talk to and choosing specifically who we don't want to talk to, because actually it's, you need to know who not to talk to as opposed to who to talk to, because you can start narrowing your market down. And that's a key thing there.
Did you know that Spotify listeners can interact with this episode of Sparks directly? Take a look at your screen and you'll see a question at the top of the episode page. We'd love to read a few of your answers out on the next pod. Thanks.
From an accountancy point of view, you mentioned last episode that you know, someone said, hey, we can do this with our team. We can help them become thought leaders. How would you advise other people if they were working in a business at this stage? They've got their target market defined. They know what their product is. But a lot of people communicate the features. That's what they're really good at. How would you encourage them to go beyond the features, to think about the story itself and the emotional connection? Because that's really hard for a lot of people. But that's what serves.
Sure.
How would you do that?
Well, to set the stage, you know, the commonly spoken idea is it's not about don't sell the features, sell the benefits. And I think the power of the benefits comes from a level deeper even than that. So if, you know, people always talk about iconic advertising campaigns from Apple. When the iPod was first released, the world was fixating on, here's all the megabytes that can fit on this little stick.
Yeah.
Whereas Apple comes along, Steve Jobs walks out onto a stage and says, I have this gadget. It's 1,000 songs in your pocket. You don't have to carry around all the physical media. He didn't talk about how many megabytes the thing had. You know, he didn't talk about the features of how the box worked. He said, this is the benefit. This is what it will get you. And people say, see, that's where the power is. And I'd say it goes farther than that, because if you remember the advertisements, the television advertisements that people, you know, it's these brightly colored animations with black silhouettes of people dancing around the screen. I would argue that the power of that message, 1,000 songs in your pocket, does not say, I can have lots of songs. It's, you have the freedom. This box is the thing. The thing under the thing is freedom to have the music that you want. And you can take it with you wherever you want.
Yeah.
So the thing is the box. The thing under the thing is personal freedom.
Yeah, I love that.
So that is where, when back to your question of how do we create a message that connects with people, that is the kind of level that we have to be thinking about. Now, this is where messaging can become tricky, because if Steve Jobs had just walked out on the stage and said, this box equals your personal freedom, people would probably have looked at him and said, no, you know, but the power of that is he said, hey, this is what it will get you. But he spoke that within the light of the psychological and emotional knowledge of what drove that.
Yeah.
And so that benefit statement was driven by the deeper level emotional and psychological elements right there.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, we've all heard that 1,000 songs in a pocket, but I thought of that, I love that expansion you've given that there in terms of that freedom and actually looking at putting in that light, you really get a different message coming alive. And I think that's that just shows, you know, the power of not selling features, but selling the freedom it will bring you, literally, but actually having the message that really connects with the audience. So I think this has been a great second episode in terms of some of the things that we do to bring this alive for people, to help people really understand how storytelling at a strategic level is the key to this. Because if we get too tactical, we go into the weeds too quickly. We need to have that 30,000 foot view to start with to really help people elevate themselves. So I've got one final question for you in that case, in terms of wrapping up the story here. And that story is, if you were to look back over your life in terms of the story you've told yourself, What's the message you would go back and give the young Jeff? We talked last episode about the, you know, how you reinterpret things, but what's the message? If you would go back and give young Jeff a piece of advice, what's that piece of advice that you think he could benefit from?
I grew up in an environment where, and you know, raised by parents who are part of a generation where you pick a path and you stick to it. I will also say that, you know, as a lifelong follower of Jesus and being a student of Christian culture and its different flavors, there is a very real element of Christianity. And frankly, I'd be willing to bet most organized religions where the idea of faithfulness means holding fast to one direction and not being willing, you know, and not being swayed, not being moved. And that can become a very emotionally charged thing. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that it is okay to change? And the corollary to that is, a lot of the times, the most important change is scary. Mm. And I would say, what I would say to younger Jeff at this point is, number one, change is not only normal, change is required.
Yeah.
And because that is how, you know, if you look at, you know, if you look at stories, people talk about victims, people talk about villains, people talk about heroes. This is also touching back on some of Donald Miller's work. He talks about how victims get the sympathy of the audience, but the victim never really changed. They don't get the respect of the audience because the victim is being acted upon. The villain might receive an element of respect from people, but at the end of the day, the villain never changes.
Yeah.
The hero, however, this is the one who we all aspire to be, because the hero goes through hell. And when the hero comes out from the other side of those obstacles, that hero is changed. And taking on that, you know, being willing to take on those obstacles is scary. Yeah. And so I would tell myself, be willing to step into the fear, because you will step out on the other side a changed man.
Wow, that's powerful. That's really powerful in terms of that, you know, that be willing to step into the fear because you'll come out the other side as a changed man. What a lovely thing for young Jeff to hear.
And I just want to be super clear. I want to encourage anyone who hears this. This applies to you 100%. The things that we most need to do, the things that are often the scariest things to do, are quite often the things that will bring the greatest transformation in our lives. Mm-hmm. Be willing to step into the fear, because what's on the other side is amazing.
Yeah. As Susan Jeff has said in her book, feel the fear and do it anyway. So Jeff, this has been a great conversation. I've loved it, because we've meandered through this story again. But I think there's a real message here at the end of this in terms of, you know, helping yourself understand it. And if you think about what you talked about, you know, identity, desire, obstacles and change, it's the results you get to. And in some ways, this message here talks there to the same thing. The victims here, villains and the heroes. We all aspire to be the hero, but actually you've got to go through that place of hell to come out the other side, to realize what it's like and realize you can come out as a changed person. And I think from a business perspective, there's a lot of story behind that in terms of people understand, well, how do I get my message out there? And what's the process we can do? And we all need to put our hero capes on effectively, because at the end of the day, we're all solving somebody's problem, which is what the hero does at the end of the day, often unwittingly in the first place. So really appreciate the story. And I really appreciate having this conversation for a second time and building up this story again. So Jeff March, thank you very much. It's great to talk to you again.
It's an honor to be here, Phil. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So what a great conversation with Jeff. There's so many key learnings I take away from that. As always, in every conversation I have, whether it was with coaches, with CEOs, with managers, with leaders in different businesses, or my invaluable podcast guests, when I listen to Jeff and I listen to the story he's built, from the 20 years he spent in Hollywood through to niching down to looking at accountancy businesses and how he can help them with this story process. The power of strategic storytelling is so important for people. And I think the messages he puts out there around what is it you need to do to connect your story to the people to build that emotion is one of the key things. When you need to connect, please connect directly with Jeff Bartsch. That's Jeff, B-A-R-T-S-C-H. Jeff Bartsch. You'll get some story from him, but remember to go to storygreenlight.com/sparks to get the real information. If you need any more from me, it's phil@igniumconsult.com. I wish you well.
Thanks again for listening to the Sparks by Ignium podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe, tell a friend about this episode, and send us in your suggestions for guests who might offer valuable insights the rest of us can learn from. Reach out to us at any time. Details are on our website, www.igniumconsult.com. See you next time.